May be seated. Friends, grace to you and peace from God, who is our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ, our Messiah. Amen. I remember having very clear expectations upon entering the Lutheran Theological Southern Seminary for a six-week intensive course in Greek during the summer of 1993. Freshly graduated from Lenoir Rhine College, where I had served as a class president and as a president within my fraternity, and at least unofficially as a leader in college nightlife, I had all but convinced myself that the next 4 years of my life, which would begin in summer Greek, would be spent in a social wilderness. I expected to live a rather monk-like existence that would bear very little resemblance at all to my fun-loving college days. And if the truth be known, I expected to be the only real cool person there. Most pastors that I knew, at least in my mind, at that time in my life, were not necessarily cool. I already knew that most of my seminary classmates were going to be second career people with families. And so I expected to be one of the youngest people there. I expected to not date or meet any girls, to not go out very much, to spend an inordinate amount of my time asking God to help me get through such a boring but worthwhile time in my life. That was my expectation of seminary. I was wrong. My expectations were immediately shattered as I began meeting my future renegade classmates. Not only did I find that many of the entering students were young like me, single young men like me, but also found that we had a lot of the same things in common. It was as if God had foreordained that it would be best for the church that all of the irreverent seminarians should end up in the same class, at the same seminary, so as not to poison the rest of the church with our irreverence. But what truly turned out to be an element of grace for me is that upon graduating from seminary in 1997, our teachers, our professors at seminary said they were going to miss us. Because by being ourselves, by being the people who God had called us to be, albeit with an occasional letter from the president telling us to calm down, we had brought some life to what was normally a more serious, subdued, and somber setting. It was fascinating to me that as my classmates and I began to get to know one another, we noticed that to a person, each one of us had come to seminary expecting the exact same thing. All of us expected to come there and be bored and not make the kind of friendships that we ultimately made. You see, expectation is a powerful force in our lives. It can shape our initial perception of people or places and can even shape our ultimate experience of them. But oftentimes, our expectations are misplaced. Our lesson today from the gospel is indicative of this. John the Baptist, he of the camel hair clothed and the locust and wild honey diet, of the powerful preaching and the baptizing at the Jordan, John the Baptist fit the religious expectation of what a prophet should be. So much so that there was a rumor going around about John that he was in fact the long-awaited Messiah to come. This is what the Messiah will look like. The people who joined John on the banks of the Jordan saw in him what they believed they were supposed to be seeing in a Messiah. But John, being a man of great faith, he knew that he wasn't the Messiah. He knew that he wasn't worthy to untie the thong of the sandals of the one who was. Interestingly, as he came to at first see that Jesus might be that Messiah, what ultimately happened for John is Jesus didn't meet his expectations either. In the Gospel of Luke, we are told that followers of John went to see Jesus, and they asked Jesus a very simple question. Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another? Because John's expectations of Messiah, initially found in Jesus, were not being met. Expectations can make us see something that isn't there. But it can also blind us to something that is there. Because people expected a Messiah that looked like a Messiah should look, or at least their preconceived notions of what a Messiah should look like, they overlooked, and I would dare say still overlook, Jesus today. You see, according to all of the scripture that they would have been familiar with, a Messiah, a Savior, is supposed to be either a great prophet like Elijah or Isaiah, a great judge like Samson or Deborah, or a great hero king like David or Solomon. A Messiah, a Savior, is not supposed to be an itinerant preacher who says things like, "Blessed are the poor." A Messiah, a Savior, is not supposed to be a roving minister whose ministry included prostitutes and tax collectors and Samaritans. A Messiah, a Savior, is not supposed to be a man who will eventually be nailed to a cross with the likes of murderers. Yet a closer look at the story of God with God's people, the Hebrews, actually shows us that as misguided as this perception may have been in conventional wisdom, perhaps it was exactly what they should have been looking for. Because who could have expected, as the stories tell us, that an older couple, Abraham and Sarah, would be the ones, a childless, older couple would be the ones who would birth this nation, the Hebrews. Who could have expected that a man, Joseph, once sold by his brothers into slavery, would be the one to not only save his people, including his brothers, from a terrible famine? Who could have expected that a man with a speech impediment, Moses, would be chosen by God to be the leader who would guide these people out of their existence of slavery into freedom? Who would have expected that a shepherd boy, David, the youngest and runtiest of his brothers, would become the great king who would unite these people into a kingdom? And who could have ever expected a young, unmarried peasant girl, Mary, to be the earthly mother of the child who would become the Messiah? Yes, it seems that God deals regularly in the unexpected. Perhaps it is incumbent then upon us Christians to not be so enamored with our expectations of how we think God should act, and allow ourselves to be surprised and heartened by the way God chooses to act. I saw a story on 60 Minutes one time. Ed Bradley was interviewing a family. The daughter had spina bifida. The mother was a deeply religious woman. The father was too, but he was painfully shy, so much so that he really didn't have a whole lot of interaction with anyone else in his life other than his family. Well, this family, I said they were very religious, they would go to Lourdes in France, and they would go there and spend thousands of dollars and pray for healing. And as Ed Bradley talked to them, he kind of incredulously said, well, what do you pray for? You know, expecting them to say, well, we're praying for the healing of our daughter. But instead, the daughter said, well, when we go, what I pray for is for my dad. I pray for him to be not so shy, because it makes him so terribly lonely. And then Bradley looked at them again incredulously and was like, well, you spend thousands of dollars to do this. Why do you do this year after year when clearly your prayers aren't being answered? And the mother looked at him and said, oh, Mr. Bradley, you don't get it. Looking at her daughter in the wheelchair. You don't get it. We have our miracle. You see, Mr. Bradley's expectations that the family was going there for physical healing, and I'm sure they would have wanted and accepted that for, to be sure, but it blinded him from seeing the true nature of what God's grace and love was doing in the lives and being experienced by that family. The miracle for them was not the one that he assumed mattered. Her getting up from the wheelchair and walking again. No, it was instead a family being held together by faith, praying for one another, and finding joy from soil that one would not expect to sustain it. You see, God does work in mysterious ways. And God works often in ways that we least expect him to do. Many times, most times, God works in ways that surprise us and hopefully ultimately empower us. God's mercy can break the bonds and the bounds of our own narrow expectations. God can indeed give us a promise that trust that the surprising gift of God's nature is one that shows up regularly as our eyes are open to see it. Jesus will not always be of your expectation. And that's a good thing. That's a blessing. That is the God of surprise. May we not let our expectations get in the way during this 2018 year. Let's not let our expectations get in the way of experiencing what surprises God has in store for us next. In Jesus' name, amen.